Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, it was my New Year's resolution to lose 15 pounds this year. I've only got 25 pounds to go. I read recently, Kim Jong-un is considering outlawing sarcasm in North Korea. I wonder if he proposed that to his team and one of his generals said, oh yeah, that'll work. Tennis is weird. If you don't have any points, you have to say love. You don't say it like that with other things, like your checking account. Oh no! I've got love! Apparently, the Israelis and Palestinians are not getting along. I say we send a good dad over there. What in the hell is going on over here? Well, he started it. No, he started it. I don't care who started it. Knock it off.
Brian Regan on the Adam Carolla Show.
Brian Regan in studio. Stand up and away with Brian Regan. Streaming on Netflix, starting Christmas Eve. And, of course, Jeff Cesario is writing and producing, I'm guessing, or
yes,
something on the show.
He is amazing.
And nunchucks or noonchucks. I don't know how. I'm still not sure. I've always said nunchucks, but noonchucks, nunchucks, and flamethrowers. Name of the Netflix special, which is out, and I watch in its entirety. I think I've seen all your stand-up specials. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
Stand-up way funny, too. I've just seen bits and pieces of it, but that's stand-up mixed with sketch.
Correct.
And one of the sketches that I just saw, which is something that's like near and dear to my heart, is when they set you right next to someone at a restaurant. It's weird. It kind of flies in the face of going out to eat because
right.
I want to talk to this person and I don't want to sit Indian style in my living room with them. I want to go have someone bring us food. But whatever they say, oh, it's a separate table. Yeah, it's 11 inches away. Brian, if I was talking about you, you think you could hear me right now?
No, we're separate tables.
That's right. That's their philosophy.
I'm saying, what if we all stood up and just removed the tables? Then right. We'd just be standing 2 feet from each other.
Then we would be mingling.
Right.
Yeah, I used to live in New York City, and I have a certain amount of social anxiety to begin with. And it always blew me away when you would go to dinner with someone and they would seat you like that. And I would actually look and assess the situation and go, I am literally physically closer to a person I know nothing about. Like they're sitting right next to you. You are closer to them than your date.
The person across you is three feet across.
And the person next to you is a foot
inches.
Away from you.
Right. Okay. Who's the worst then? Who's the worst? I'm so with you on this. Is it the person that comes in alone and then sits next to you alone? So you know that person is hearing every fucking syllable that's going back and forth. Who's worse? The alone person who just chooses to sit next to you, which is weird. And also there's an element of, oh, that's Brian. Oh, I saw this. Oh, now I'm like.
Makes it more awkward.
Kimmel took me out to lunch 2 years ago for my birthday. We sat at like an Italian place and a guy just sat alone next to us. So like other booths were open. And then of course at the end he was like, hey man, I'm a big fan. It's like, of course he listened to every N-bomb Jimmy dropped one after the other.
I
lost count.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Why would he say all those things?
So every F-bomb, both F-bombs,
right,
and one of the N's, and whatever, or maybe
hard
there's two
J.
N's, the hard J. So
Anything you have an opinion on, you know, if you talk about politics, if you talk about anything, you're concerned that somebody next to you is absorbing it. And now in today's world, who knows if they're recording it?
So what is worse then? The person who sits alone next to you and you think, well, this person's listening to every word I'm saying, or the couple that sits next to you but refuses to talk to each other. Like, you're just sitting there and you're having these stupid things. Like, you're yelling at my wife. We should fire the nanny. Come on, man. That's just bullshit. The kids are too old. And then you look to your side and there's just two people sitting there. They're just sitting
looking
there.
Down
like,
at their food.
Yeah, like, yeah. Of course, now there's two people listening to what we're saying. If you guys That's would so get funny. In your own heated, you know, are you kidding me? You know, Peyton Manning's hell of a lot. Statistically, not Tom Brady, but come on. Like, if that's what you're having, then you're having your own thing. Yep. Who's worse, single person or couple that won't talk?
I think a single person would be much more awkward because you know that there's nothing else going on with them, at least the couple. Well, the couple not talking is strange as well. I had a show in Hawaii recently, and I went to this little place for lunch, and there was a couple sitting nearby. Just a couple, and the guy was on his iPad at the
table.
Yeah, and the woman was like looking around, like, "Does anybody see what I'm dealing with here?" And like rolling her eyes. And I'm like, I don't know if this is like their first Hawaiian vacation, but this is also their last Hawaiian vacation. You know, I don't know what the guy was thinking, but
well, I'd like to add one more contender to that list. There's the single person, there's the couple who clearly hates each other. And what about a couple who has zero respect for the fourth wall? We can at least pretend we're ignoring each other, but if someone's like, I'm so sorry, that looks really good. What is that? I'm thinking about ordering. Like, no respect for the fourth wall. Like, let us pretend we're having some privacy.
And all the shit we talk about this person, the greatest moment of my restaurant going life was because I was sitting with a couple. Danny Two Sheets was one of them. You guys know the story. I was sitting in a New York restaurant with Danny Two Sheets and his then wife. And I was talking. I was engaged to Lynette, and then we broke up. And then, like, I felt horrible. And then I was like, we should get a condo. She should live in a condo. And then he was yelling, "You pay for the condo." And then I was saying, I'll put the down for the condo and she can make the payments. And he was like, buy her the condo, you cheap fuck. It's the least you could do. And I kept saying, I want her to treat the condo like she owns it, not as like some consolation gift or some breakup gift or something like that. So I'll put the down. She'll make the payments, you know, $900 a month or whatever at the time. She's got a job. It's fine. Let her own it. We went back and forth for about 20 minutes. At some point, a guy from another table just came around and went, let him get her the fucking condo. Shut up. Just shut up. I can't take it anymore. Like, they're screaming at Daniel Kelson to shut up about the fucking condo. And in that particular case, I did like it.
The tiebreaker was in your favor.
I wonder why.
Yeah, right. You're probably saying it even louder, you know, to get people to, like, you know, weigh in and condone your opinion.
I did. There's so Brian Regan, I have you on a list, but tell me if this is fair, of comedians who are stand-up comedians who have made their bones doing stand-up comedy, and not guys that did sitcoms and then went out and did stand-up after and then did some stand-up and then quit stand-up as fast as they could quit stand-up as soon as they got a network gig and blah, blah, blah. But you tell me, how many years of stand-up?
Many. You know, I mean, since I got out of college, I started doing stand-up. I would have liked along the way, especially years ago, to get one of those sitcom things that they were handing out to comedians. I always thought that was like winning the Super Bowl, you know. I always thought that meant that you've done pretty good as a stand-up, and now we are going to reward you with this. So I like the idea of it as like a trophy, but I didn't like it so much in terms of creatively. You know, I just thought it would be a milestone.
But is the joke – tell me if this is rings true. It's true. We all want to go the Michael Richards route, right?
Which part?
Okay, probably pick someone. There's many other sitcom stars I probably could have picked. But what I'm saying is there's a part of me that always thought – personally, in terms of my own career, if I just picked a sport, if I just went, I'm doing stand-up, I'm focusing on stand-up, and that's all I'm doing. I'm not going to bounce around from doing radio to doing stand-up to doing this to doing that. That I probably would have had a more lucrative career, like just a better career. Just focusing on literally just like on one sport, like big picture in terms of your bank account. And I'm not talking about a runaway, you know, Seinfeld success in terms of a sitcom. But I think your strategy of sort of the long game has worked out much better, big picture, than, I don't know, hot sitcom star in the late 80s, early 90s, and then flames out or whatever, or well, loses his ability to do stand-up or desire.
I got fortunate in that. I thought years ago I was fortunate enough to open for Seinfeld after his sitcom had come out, and it was like one of my first times performing in a theater. Mm-hmm. And they were there to see him, obviously, but I got to do 20 minutes in front of him. And it was like an amazing experience. And that immediately became my goal, is that I wanted to perform in theaters. As much as I love comedy clubs, I love that focus and, you know, the blenders aren't going off, the whole nine yards. But I thought you had to get a sitcom to be able to draw like that.
Right.
So I thought, all right, he's got a sitcom. So that's why I wanted to get a sitcom, not because I cared about a sitcom or the creative aspect of it. I still liked stand-up. So I thought you'd need to get a sitcom to be able to perform theaters. Well, that wasn't happening. And I just kept getting lucky enough where more and more people seemed to like what I was doing, and I was able to make the jump to the theaters without doing the sitcom. And, yeah. So I was like, wow, I didn't need that. I didn't need that piece of the pie. This is already working out. So then when I got that fortunate, then I was like, now if I ever do a show, it'll be what I want it to be. I don't want to do like a conventional type of sitcom.
It's 4 half-hour,
yes.
Or approximately half hour?
Exactly.
I love that we're living in a time when it's like, I don't know, or 26 minutes or whatever. Mm. Because it used to be down to the second with the commercials backed out and everything. All right. This half of the show brought to you by MedMen and Blue Apron and LifeLock and Stamps.com. Let me tell you about MedMen. Holidays are here. Let's take care of everyone on the list. MedMen, celebrating the first legalization-friendly holiday season in approved states with awesome deals. Look for stocking stuffers and look in the stocking stuffer section. Stuff all under $20, exclusive bundles from premium brands. Not sure what to buy? Can't go wrong with the MedMen gift card. Now available in all stores, and you can visit any of their 14 locations in California. And the new Las Vegas store, now open on Paradise Road in Harmon. Go to MedMen.com. You can find out the store nearest you and find out just how good they are and how many deals they got going around at MedMen, MedMen.com, right, Dawson?
Start a new holiday tradition this year with MedMen, and don't forget to use code Adam Carolla at checkout to get $10 off your purchase. Be a holiday hero this year with MedMen. Limit one per customer. Terms and conditions apply. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older.
Where do you live, Brian?
He's got the best voice ever.
I know.
It's all right.
My gosh. Strong. Strong.
I picture you, I'm trying to think, like Bob Costas lives in St. Louis because it's right in the middle, mm-hmm. and he can just go anywhere. If you think about Bob Costas' life, it'd be tough living in, you know, Glendora. You'd have to get on planes a lot and go on long flights. He can get anywhere in 2.5 hours. But what about you, Brian Reagan?
I live across the street from Bob Costas. No, I live in Las Vegas. I've been in Las Vegas the last 15 years.
Is it good there is it good for taxes? Is it good for...
Well, that's not why I moved there, but they do not have a state income tax, which is a big difference from this particular state right here. And so that's a nice byproduct, but that's not why I moved there.
Why did you move there?
I was married at the time. My ex is from Las Vegas, and when I did travel, she would get help with her mom and sister with the kids when I was traveling.
Is there something to like about Vegas that I'm missing out on? Are you like up in Henderson somewhere?
No, Henderson is the east side. I'm over on the west side. And, well, there's stuff to do every night if you feel like doing it. And if do you golf?
No.
All right. Well, you can golf year round.
I heard. I was at a funny, had a funny conversation. I think sometimes you wonder who you're, not wonder, but you have to think about halfway into your conversation who you're having the conversation with. I was just hanging out with James Baby Doll Dixon, my agent, yesterday. He's an East Coast guy, but he's out. And we're eating lunch yesterday. And he's telling me all his golf stories. And he's got golf clubs stashed, like gangsters would have Guma stashed in every city. He's got his golf clubs stashed. You can find him at the airport, you
wow.
know. And he was explaining about golf, and I was listening, and then I always think about Dr. Drew. And Dr. Drew is a doctor. Listen, he lives on a golf course, actually, and he should golf, but he doesn't golf because Dr. Drew just goes, who has time to golf? Who has time to golf? Who has this time? Who has this time? Who has this? It's crazy to him that people have that much time. And I was listening to George Bush Sr. getting eulogized, and he was right. being eulogized. And he was, is it George Bush Sr.?
Yeah,
George H.W. George H.W. Too many names. All right. He was being eulogized. And part of the eulogy was he was so efficient and he was always in such a hurry that when he golfed, nobody golfed faster. Like you had to run alongside him. He'd golf, golf, and he'd run the whole thing. And, you know, he'd do 18 holes in 90 minutes. And that's how efficient he was. And I was like, or he could have not golfed, like, or he could have just gone to work on Wednesday like we do. Instead of
what a great man! He's figured out how to golf every day,
right?
All like, efficiency.
During my eulogy, like Corolla, when he would beat off for the third time before he left for work, nobody squoze one off faster than the ace man. It's like, or he could have hugged his kids and went to work. Like, he didn't have to golf every day.
That's so funny.
I was explaining that to James Baby Doll Dixon, and in the middle of it, I could see his face changing, and he's like, "Baby, it's good exercise, you know." I was like, "Oh yeah, you golf every day."
Well, I wish I had more time to do it, but it is harder and harder to get out and play.
Well, you have set yourself up a schedule where you can. I mean, theoretically, if you're doing a gig at night, but how many of your gigs are in Vegas?
I don't perform there.
I'm guessing you tour the country all the time.
I'm just a dad when I go to Las Vegas.
Do you do the like rock and roll tour bus sort of?
I have a tour bus, which is kind of cool, and I do half the weekends of the year, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 4 one-nighters, and those are usually close enough where I go from city to city on the bus.
How many dates a year would you play on an average?
About a year?
Yeah.
About 100.
About 100. That's right. An average Brian Regan year. How much of your material and how conscious are you of it and how much needs to change when you come back into town?
Well, a usual rotation in theaters is a year and a half. I don't know how they came up with that. Like comedy clubs was every 6 months, but they said for theaters, it has to be a year and a half. They said you don't want somebody looking at an ad in a newspaper. You don't ever want them going, wasn't he just here?
Right.
Or not this guy again.
Right.
You know, so it's a year and a half. And usually by a year and a half, I will have turned over, I would hope, 2/3 of it.
Right.
Of the act.
Right. I'm just sort of curious because there's not any rules, and we all know in the music world, you got to go out there and just play the hits over and over again.
Right.
The comedy world has hits as well, but we don't want to hear the same act we heard 18 months ago.
Correct.
So about 3/4 of it has been turned over.
I would hope so. Yes.
You would hope so when you come back into that town.
Right. But then sometimes people – I remember doing a show in a comedy club, and early in the week I had this joke about why do dogs bark late at night? Wouldn't it be weird if people yelled late at night for no reason? So – and then I'd act that out. Well, I did that early in the week, and then at the end of the week, same club, I do a show. I thought I had a good show. I walk off stage. This woman grabs my arm and says – you didn't do the dog. I brought everybody tonight to see the dog, and you didn't do it. And then she just threw my arm away like it was a rag. And I remember just like walking away, going, "Damn! I thought I just killed for an hour, and I made somebody angry.
Did
I made somebody? What's that?
Didn't do the dog.
I didn't do the dog. Mm-hmm. I know. I should have done the dog.
Well,
guess what bit I do every night now?
The sense of humor thing. There's a lot of theories about like sort of where it comes from. I'm starting to just think it's more like a musical ear or any other talent or ability you have, and then you have to flesh it out, but you just sort of have it, you know, this notion of like it comes from pain. Most of the world's in pain. Most of the Middle East is in pain. They're not a jovial group over there. So I'm guessing it's sort of just in you, but your background and your sense of humor and your stuff seems sort of relatively normal, I guess I would say. Like you seem, the idea, like I think everyone kind of gets all the different kinds of comedians, but Brian's feels like it's born from suburbia, but we figured out a way to be funny. Is there something in your background that we don't know about? Or what did your parents do?
And please share it for the first time here.
Yeah, were you just always funny?
You know, that it's a great question. And I've always been fascinated with comedy. But I do believe that comedy can happen in a variety of different places. You know, you have your Bill Burrs and your George Carlins and, you know, your edgy side of comedy, which I think is wonderful and beautiful. But I also think you can find comedy in just incredibly mundane subjects. You know, try to find something peculiar within the mundane and make it interesting, like something you go, I never thought of that. But I remember reading a preview for a show of mine, and they said, Brian Regan, who does jokes about food, travel, and sports, is performing at the local comedy club. And I just remember thinking, who the hell would be motivated by the subject?
I love right. food.
You know, travel. Like nobody's
I've traveled.
Nobody's reading that going, honey, we got to check this guy out. He's exploring our favorite subjects for humor.
You love travel.
You love travel.
We just ate.
Remember, we saw the ball game.
Remember that time we ate on the plane?
Oh, double whammy.
That was combining.
On the way to the ball game?
On the way to the ball game. We were traveling and we had food.
Such a weird thing with comedy. I always feel that way when you're trying to pitch some sort of sitcom or something. And they're like, tell us the premise. And like, think about All in the Family or some of your favorite sitcoms. Like, what is the premise? This guy sits in this chair and makes fun of his son-in-law and is mean to his wife, and he never leaves his living room.
Well, the like, mentioned Seinfeld is the ultimate example.
Yeah.
How do you pitch Seinfeld?
A show about nothing.
It's weird that they even want to hear the premise. Yeah. It's like, who is executing the premise, not
exactly.
What is the premise? The highfalutin ones where it's like, he joined the WAX, but he's really a fella. Now he's got to dress as a woman, but he's got to make hijinks in the barracks. Like those ones never work, as a matter of fact. The ones that have the big premise
exactly.
never work.
Well, what if you had to pitch your song ideas and you had to go to some committee and go, what's the idea of the song? It's about love. It's about love. Okay. Yeah, I think we can do that. I mean, that's what sitcoms, it's just, you know, like you say, the premise itself is not necessarily what makes it interesting. Barney Miller is one of my favorite sitcoms ever, and it was just held in a jailhouse. Like, they had one set, and they had a set of bars in the background. They would bring a prisoner in each week, and that would add to the story of that particular week. And it's all about those characters and how they communicate with each other and how they're going to deal with this new person. And it can be very simple. It's all in how well you pull it off.
You know what's funny, too, when you think about Barney Miller? All the characters were really low energy. Like, I think Jack Sue or whatever, the Asian guy, like, barely opened his eyes or spoke.
I can't say it was.
There was Wojo Howitz, who was the other guy. Like, everyone was, like, totally subdued. They had one set piece. Like, they had one place.
Right.
They never
set.
Went upstairs or
That's
downstairs
right.
or anything. Every guy was, like, super quiet. The lines were super funny, but nobody ever did it with the physical flair. There wasn't any get her done, or there was no catchphrases
it
or anything.
It might be considered a pacing issue today.
Oh my God! Find me Jack Sue talking to Ava Goda. By the way, like the two is low. These guys, one was sucking on an ether rag, the other was popping, the other was throwing quaaludes into the other guy's mouth, like you do with popcorn on a first date, you know, when you're falling in love. And they just both sit there, just staring at each other, but they were saying funny things and a great bass line at the beginning.
Yeah.
And look at the Honeymooners. I mean, that practically always took place in that
in the kitchen.
One kitchen. They didn't even hardly ever go into the bedroom.
I never saw him go anywhere. And by the way, that the pow to the moon stuff, that's on the chopping block, right?
Oh,
that's
oh it gonna, better be.
That's me on a no-fly
one
zone.
One of these days.
One of these days. All right, find me Jack Sue on Barney Miller talking to Abe Vigoda. Find me a dialogue with those two. And I'll tell you first about Blue Apron. Oh, holidays are fast approaching. Meal prep, last thing you want on your plate. Cooking delicious, wholesome meals is easy with Blue Apron. Oh, Olga made salmon last night. Blue Apron. She made the salmon. God, what was it on it? It's the greatest sauce ever.
It's her bernaise sauce?
I don't know, but she never stopped patting herself on the back. But I agreed. She said, this is the best. It was the best. I'm not even a big salmon guy.
Lemon caper sauce, maybe?
It wasn't a lemon caper, but it was so damn good. Oh, we have this every night. Anyway, it's chef-designed recipes, fresh, seasonally inspired ingredients. Meals worth sharing on social media, and you can get them done in as little as 20 minutes. Comes with easy-to-follow recipes. Every single one of them has been a home run. I had one experience with Blue Apron, one of the hundreds of meals I've eaten, where I said to Olga, my nanny, this one, it's a little salty. It's a little off. It's not quite what it was. And she said, I mixed the Blue Apron mm-hmm. with the other thing I had, with the other pork sausage. I got the other and I mixed it in to try to make it go further. And I said, I knew it.
You showed her the back of your hand.
I knew it. I did. I just showed it to her. Yeah,
that's all you need to
she
do.
Knew
she
what it
cowers.
Meant. Yes. To the moon, I would yell. She'd yell, it's the first time someone from Guatemala would ever go to the moon. I'd say, to the moon. All right, anyway. Check out this week's menu and get the first three meals free at blueapron.com/Adam. Just the best. You'll never go back. blueapron.com/Adam. Get the first three meals for free. Can you find Barney Miller? I'll accept Wojo Howitz. Talking to Hal. Who was that? Hal?
I don't remember.
It's your favorite sitcom. Come on.
I don't.
Hal. Who starred in?
Hal Linden.
Hal Linden. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, Hal Linden.
Yeah, that guy from your allegedly favorite sitcom.
I don't know things. I know little bits. I have little flashing bits of things that I think about and
like,
know.
You guys, my driver's ed teacher used to say, "You know what you know is a mile wide, but an inch deep."
Do you?
I'll go along with that.
You guys all know the theme, though, right?
It's been played on this show before.
Yes,
jazzy.
Good bass line, yeah. Drums mm-hmm. kick in. But God, back in the day, I never really thought about like. Like when you watch a sitcom now, how hard everyone is sort of pedaling that bike. Back then, they were just low and slow.
I shouldn't be throwing modern sitcoms under the bus, but they are too fast with the lines. It's not real to me. Like people aren't that witty. Every single thing they say, it's hard for me to get into a conventional modern. Major network sitcom because of that.
Well,
it's funny line, funny line,
also,
funny line, funny line, funny line. It's like this isn't real.
The
People
one guy
like
is a long haul trucker, and the other guy works at a sewage waste facility plant. And you're like, why are these guys lightning fast?
So
with the comeback? Like,
don't they realize how gifted they are? Why don't they go out to Hollywood and become comedians?
Never go back to the waste treatment facility ever again, Ernie. You belong on stage with a brick facade behind
right.
you.
Everything you say is hysterical.
It's an 8-year-old killing it.
Yes, yes. When the kids are saying things that no kid would ever say. That's very difficult for me.
All right. We will find that. We will find. I don't know. What do they have?
We're just screening a clip right now of Sue talking to Wojo. So
you got Jack Sue talking to Wojo Howitz, huh?
Yeah.
What was Jack Sue's name in the character?
Nick Yamana.
Nick Yamana.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he died insanely early. I mean, not insanely, but he died. At a young age, like shortly after Barney Miller, I think.
Yeah, he died in 79, age 61.
All right, let's hear him. Do you have it?
Yeah, this is Jack Sue and Wojo.
This is for you, Brian Reagan.
Do you ever feel any longings to return to your home? Back to the ancient cultures and traditions? Back to the shrines and temples of your ancestors? Back to the terraced hillsides and the cherry trees?
I was born in Omaha.
We got a city in Nebraska. Sounds just like that.
Funny line.
That's good. I like that.
Is that Wojo Howitz? Wojo Howitz is the other guy.
Wojo was the played the Polish guy.
Yeah. Come on. You should but know this. You're almost 35.
The description says it was Wojo, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never seen the show, so.
What?
With the description.
You insult our guest. No. All right. So find Wojo talking to Jack Sue.
All right.
We just got to kind of find one where Jack talks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll help. All right. Let's do a little news, huh, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, with Kevin Hart out as the host of the 2019 Oscars, the organization is thinking of going hostless this year. A source tells Variety the comedian's departure was last week blindsided the Academy, and now they're, quote, freaking out. With no plan B, the show's producers are considering all options. Another insider says the Academy is reportedly, quote, gun-shy about going with someone anyone might think is too edgy. The safest bet, then, would be going with a host, not a host, but a bunch of hosts, like something SNL-style, buzzy people, quote-unquote.
It's weird. We're living in a time when you can go to your phone and watch as much weird German stump porn as you want.
Sure can.
The fastest growing sport is guys in their underpants putting their shins in other guys' orbital sockets, where men are becoming women and women are becoming men, and the cars are driverless, and there's a pot dispensary on every corner. When did we get so puritanical and uptight about comedians all of a sudden? Now, back when Lenny Bruce was doing whatever Lenny Bruce did, or Mort Saul was doing what Mort Saul did, we were super uptight on every subject. But then when these guys grabbed the stage and grabbed the mic, they sort of said what they wanted. Mm-hmm. They'd get into trouble on occasion. But what I'm saying is we understood when Richard Pryor was Richard Pryor in 1975, that was Richard Pryor. Then the entire world went the other direction, but decided to clamp down on the guys telling the jokes. That's insane.
Yes.
That we've gone this direction with drugs and with sexuality and with exposing your kids to whatever, whenever, whoever, and all the time. But there's one group that we decide to really clamp down on. Yeah. Almost feels like overcompensation. Like it's fucking Sodom and Gomorrah in every other department, but we're going to go ballistic on a stand-up comedian.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. It's like,
can we at least make sense or be somewhat consistent?
Well, and when you talk about Richard Pryor or George Carlin, you would think that they were the people's folk hero. You know, it's like you've got to protect them and their free speech at all costs.
Hold on. We got a clip of Jack Sue and Ava Gota.
Breaking.
So
breaking
sorry. News. This is breaking. This is breaking from 1974. Now this from 1974.
This just coming over the wire.
Super low energy from a sitcom.
5:15 a.m. The city is asleep. The wind has an edge to it. The cold slaps my face. I am tired, but I have a job to do.
What do you think?
I don't know. It don't sound like one of your regular arrest reports.
And I'm writing a book!
Good morning.
Here it comes. There's
Abe. I don't think so.
What's the matter?
I had hot flashes on the subway.
You need something you eat for breakfast.
You don't get hot flashes from prunes.
Hey, Harris is writing a book.
What kind of book?
Fish wants to know what kind of book.
A novel.
A novel.
What kind of novel? You might ask.
Oh, there's Wojo Howitz. He's coming in the door.
Right there.
He's coming. He's kind of right when Wojo's coming in.
What a roll.
No, no, no. No, you don't understand, man. Understand. The whole secret is oxygen in the blood. Listen, anything that makes your heart beat very fast, man.
It's got to be good for you.
Fine. All right. I'm just saying that handball is as good as your way. But you can't dance
right.
with a handball.
That's all right. Now, think about the old Chinese guy and the old Jewish guy. Imagine them being cast. Like, hey, and they'd be like, we want young. We want urban. They got to be able to dance. Like, imagine just going, we want old guys talking slow.
No.
No?
No, it wouldn't happen, and it doesn't happen.
Focus group.
I've been in a couple of pitch meetings where you pitch an idea, and you think it's off the beaten path, and they will say, the network people will say, well, we don't have any shows like that on our network. And I always thought that was a good thing.
Right. You're welcome.
Oh, wow, fantastic. You know, but that's a downer.
It's weird because
that's a downer. They want what they already have, like hybrids of what they already have.
When agents don't want you, they go, we already have one of you, which is sort of the opposite in the Hollywood community. You know, they go, we got a blonde 12-year-old girl who's a tomboy, so we don't need your daughter in our agency. But then you get to the network and you pitch them a sitcom and they go, we don't have one of those.
Right.
Or, we want one that's close to what we have. It's a kind of a weird – I think it's just a way to sit at a blackjack table, play not to lose. The odds are against you, and eventually you're just going to have to cash out. Like that sort of strategy. Mm-hmm. Or there's a sporting football sort of strategy to that too. And all the great sitcoms – no one that was playing to win, and I don't know if people do that anymore.
Yeah, well, it would be like you want to go for it on fourth down every now and then, and I think it's the same in the creative world.
All right, where were we? Oh, hosting the Oscars.
Yeah, no host, like a no host dinner party. I mean, no host, possibly.
You know who figured this out, and it doesn't get I rarely give him the credit he deserves. Donald Trump. Trump was like, you know what? Yeah, I said those things. He says an outrageous thing, and people like get outraged. Like, yeah, I said it. It's locker room talk. Get over it. And it's like, and then it's like, well, he's on to the next thing. The problem is like, oh no, I'm sorry. Now what? What do I do? How quickly can I apologize?
Well, if the deal is,
think it, own it.
You know, if you think about where a lot of this is coming from. And I was talking to Drew about this, and we've talked about it before. You think about progressive movement. Well, it has the word progress and movement in it. It does not have a satisfied moving on component to it. It's we will move forward. We will move and we'll be progressive. So what you were apologizing for 5 years ago, you're going to be apologizing for something else now. We don't have a thing where we check all the boxes and move on to the next crisis. We keep going this direction, and there is no stopping. So the conceit is, I will apologize, and then they will stop. The answer is, no, they will not. They will move on to the next thing, and you may be included in that.
Right.
So with that in mind, do not apologize. When you don't apologize, they don't get satisfaction. When they don't get satisfaction, they move on to the next person who will give them satisfaction by apologizing. And yeah, like Brian says, whether it's, you know, you're Howard Stern or you're Trump.
Charles Barkley is a good example.
Barkley, or I've always said, it's like Snoop Dogg with pot. Like at a certain point, you would be disappointed if he wasn't smoking pot. You know what I mean? He's established. This is what I do.
Right.
I
Trump
smoke
was so
pot.
Cordial today. I'm so sad.
I feel like I'm missing something.
This
is what I do. Yeah. This is my brand. And nobody, you know, the thing that's funny about Trump and all the vitriol and all the negative news stories and all the, you know, everyone with their panties in a bunch and all of that in 2 years. No one has ever asked him to apologize. They've been like,
he's
Hitlerian. He needs to be removed. He needs to see the firing. No one ever went like, hey, man, you got to apologize for that statement he said, because they know he doesn't apologize. Mm-hmm. So to Brian's point.
We don't negotiate with terrorists. Trump doesn't apologize.
Right. So
it's known.
That happened with Joan Rivers. I think she was doing some jokes about flight attendants, and the flight attendant union or whatever demanded that she apologize.
How'd that go over?
And she said, I'm not apologizing. Do what you need. Do what you need to do with that information. I'm not apologizing.
Right.
And it just kind of went away. You can't get, you know, blood out of a stone.
Right. But like negotiating with terrorists who abduct camera crews if she had then publicly apologized for that, then the next comedy set she did, there would have been a group of union butchers or bakers or candlestick makers who wanted her to, who demanded an apology.
These on apologies.
Right. It's funny. People demand everything from Trump, but never an apology. It's never an apology. No one's ever asked him to apologize.
And now there are times when you say something that you do truly regret. And I think if it's in your heart and soul and you go, you know what? I screwed up. Yeah. And I shouldn't have said that, and I regret it, and I want to apologize. Those kinds of apologies I think people should do, but an apology that's forced on someone and you know they're just doing it for career reasons, they just seem kind of empty to me.
Well, it's basically when somebody's saying, look, you got to apologize. We're going to lose sponsors. You're going to lose backing. You're going to lose money. If somebody said, hey, I need you to apologize. I'm going to take your car. Mm-hmm. You just go, okay,
sorry.
Whatever it was. Sorry about that. So what's the difference? Your car's worth $41,000 or you're going to lose $70,000 worth of backing or whatever it is. Just apologize. It's like literally like saying, apologize or I'll take something valuable of you. Yours could be a durable good. Mm-hmm. Could be something in a checking account. Whatever. So everyone goes, fuck it, I'll apologize. That's why everyone is in such a hurry. And also, no crisis manager or publicist says, fuck those guys. Let's get drunk and drop our pants down to suck our cock. Everyone's like, just, we got to get out ahead of this. We're going to get out ahead of this. The people that are advising are behind. Mm-hmm. They're essentially getting back to the terrorist thing. Hey, when we were growing up, if you're in your classroom and you hear gunshots, right, everyone just get on the ground and just lay under their desk and just wait for help. That was the old advice. New advice is throw your fucking shoe at the guy and charge him. This is a new thing. The old advice, I think, with the publicist and all the crisis management people, like, let's get out ahead of it. Just apologize. I've crafted something for you to read.
Right.
Wear something dark. Don't show a lot of cleavage, or especially if you're a dude. Like, right, here you go. Read this and hope that everyone understands. That was the old way of doing. The new way should just be fuck you. I don't apologize because I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have a prediction for the upcoming Oscars. I'll say within 5 years, but I think probably within 3 years, who the host is going to be.
Oh, I got a better one.
Brian Regan.
You already know you got a better one.
I got a better one. Prediction.
All right. Well, let me put this out there, and then we'll make sure that yours is better, which I'm quite sure it is.
Yeah. Well, I'll just announce it's better.
Awesome. Then. It'll be an Avatar. We'll pat ourselves on the back how good Hollywood is at coming up with a great hologram. It'll be that sort
Johnny
of
Carson or Bob Hope.
It'll be a brand new sexy kind of, it'll be a girl, you know, hello, welcome
person.
To 2020.
No,
Oscars.
Yeah, it'll be like one of those,
but a hologram.
You know, right. Things like Time Magazine, what humans will look like in 50 years. Yeah. And they have this sort of weird shade of female or something that's like all cultures all mixed one of the penis sticking out of a vagina.
Just like that.
That'll be it. That'll do it. All right.
That's interesting. And then there's no social media history.
None.
That's right.
You've created something that has no bad back history.
Yep. And we'll marvel at how real it looks, and that'll be a distraction.
And the sex tape comes out.
Exactly. I think that's coming.
Sorry, but the future is just going to be pure buffet style. Like, we're just going to put a big table up of Oscars, and you guys, those of you who feel like you turned in a pretty good performance this year.
Honor system.
Well, if you thought you were solid in your role, and we have a supporting actor role and a lead, you know what I mean? Like, if you only had a couple of lines, don't go to the lead actor table. Everybody come up and just help yourself to an Oscar. It'll be kind of sponsored by Golden Corral, you know, and you just come up and get your Oscar again on the merit, you know, on the honor system. First off, you had to be in a movie this year. All right. Number one.
Right.
Let's be clear. There are some rules.
Sean Young, get off the stage.
And then everyone will feel good about themselves and then we'll go eat.
That'd be great.
Oh, all right. I hope
we don't
wrong.
Need a host for that.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about LifeLock for all your online shopping. Here's some basic cyber safety tips for you guys. Make sure your site's URL starts with HTTPS instead of just the HTTP. And make sure it has the little locked padlock icon to the left of that URL. Don't share your social security number or birth date with the folks. And check those bank statements for transactions you didn't make. And while you're looking for deals online, cyber criminals will be looking for your personal information. They're lazy. They want to steal from you, and they don't want to leave their house, and they don't want to get bit by your dog. And that's why they're going to steal your info online. So good thing there's LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. They have the power of Norton Security to protect you against threats to your identity and devices, right, Dawson?
Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses. But no matter the season, LifeLock with Norton Security is the right choice to help look out for threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for an extra 15% off your first year. That's promo code Adam for an extra 15% off at LifeLock.com.
All right, what else do we got?
Well, I got some sad news, some very sad news. Kathy Lee Gifford is leaving the Today Show.
Oh, no.
The longtime TV personality who's co-anchored the fourth hour of Today Show with Hoda Kotb for more than 10 years said Tuesday morning that she'll leave on April 7th, happens to be the show's 11th anniversary. She added that her plans include several film projects. Hoda Kotb will remain on the show with a new co-host who has not been named. Here's a clip of Kathy Lee making her tearful and somewhat awkward announcement.
Let's get Matt Lauer back into the mix, everybody. He's taking a year off. It's time. Hold on a second. Hoda's great. Hoda's crying. It's the first time anyone's ever cried because Kathy Lee has left. But are they drinking white wine the entire show? I'm not judging.
Yeah, they seem buzzed sometimes.
And
there's some right
do they
there.
Start drinking the white wine at 8:30 in the morning? Or what time does this show come on? What kind of message is it sending to the gals who are unemployable?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I have something to share with everybody, and it's bittersweet, as these things always are, but I've been here almost 11 years.
All information is
bittersweet. Thought I would stay 1 year. Something happened along the way, fell in love with a beautiful Egyptian goddess, and now when it's our 11th anniversary, I'm going to be leaving the Today Show. I know it's an exciting time for me, and I'm thrilled about all the projects that are coming up, but it's also hard because the reason I stayed longer than a year is because I love everybody here so much. I've been in this business 120 years and never worked with a more beautiful group of people who just give every day, four hours of live television every day, 5 days a week, and we have fun, and we laugh, and we support one another, and we know each other's kids' names, and we know when somebody's having a colonoscopy. We know everything. And we do life together, and nobody more so than my Hoda, who, it's going to happen the same way it did with Regis. You know, when I left Regis, it was hard, but I'm closer to him now than we were after 15 years together. You don't share that kind of life together and not be changed forever by it. So I love you, Hoda Mama. You were Hoda Woman when I first you were just Hoda. Remember?
No. We don't.
You were always Coda to Regis, but you know, you're just so special, wow. Hoda. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. See, you have to be unemployable to watch this. Nobody employable in a hurry can watch this. The show starts at, 10 a.m. on week? What kind of number should we throw in at me?
10 a.m. weekday. Sorry, the first set that I put up there was from a different...
5:30 in the morning. Like, wow. God, these guys are hitting it.
Yeah, that was
never went to sleep.
10 a.m. on the East Coast.
Yeah, 10 a.m. weekdays, yeah. That's all of the weekdays on NBC. So that's what it says on the their Facebook.
So it's not knowable to know whether they're drinking at 7 a.m. or 10 a.m.
I'll look that up now. I was just letting you know. That's the information they have now.
So the whole Today Show is like 4 or 5 hours long? They have like a 2-hour version and then they do an hour?
Yeah.
After them? There's another thing?
Oh, no. I think they cap it off.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Shouldn't there just be a big... You know, remember when we used to watch TV and they'd sign off and they'd just show the Indian head or the test
eagle
pattern? Shouldn't we just have something from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. that either flashes get to work or fucking clean something? How about that?
Do your dishes.
Not have a bunch of people sitting around drinking.
Vacuum.
Drinking white wine. Maybe that's sending a little bit of a dangerous message. What if I just showed 14-year-old kids sitting around smoking pot all day? Would you let your kids at home and watch that?
Probably not.
All right, so it's a thing that just flashes. It's only from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., right. Which either says get to work or fucking clean something.
Yeah, it's a strong message.
Like a crawler underneath. Yeah. You know, they like the crawlers.
Yeah, except for with no programming. This is taking up the whole screen.
It's all different it's household full products screen going
crawler.
By.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so filmed in Manhattan, so they start drinking, they go on the air at what time in Manhattan, thank you?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. in Manhattan.
Yeah.
All right. So that's when they start with the white wine. Now, is it Welch's, like, white grape juice or something?
Yeah, are they pulling a Dean Martin?
Mm-hmm.
No. Do they ever drink it? Gina, I
how dare you? You think I have time to stay home and watch the fourth hour?
I have to imagine you have
I'm a career woman.
Who watched the show.
I do not.
Yeah. Bad if you watch that show. Okay.
Sorry. I wouldn't know.
What else?
Well, Charlie Sheen has marked a big milestone in his life. The actor says he's been sober for 1 year. He posted a photo of his AA chip on Twitter along with a picture he wrote. So this happened yesterday. A fabulous moment in my renewed journey. Hashtag totally focused.
Do AZT cocktails count?
Charlie, who's battled drug and alcohol addiction for years, told Dr. Oz in 2016 that after 11 years sober, he fell off the wagon when he was diagnosed with HIV in 2012. And his behavior raised suspicions before that. Now, you'll remember, after getting in a very public battle with Two and a Half Men creator Chuck Lorre, he even went on tour and did like a live show about it. He did an interview with ABC News that got many people concerned. You'll remember this. This is a quick clip from that.
Yeah.
My passion.
Okay,
passion.
Your passion yes. is coming off as erratic
right.
to people.
Right, well, you borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard, yeah, because it just, it fires in a way that is, I don't know, maybe not from this particular terrestrial realm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's nuts.
Tiger blood.
But I sort of miss the drug-addled version of him.
I think time has proven him right.
Max Patty wrote something on the screen that said, had the word... H-A-E on it.
Oh, have. Sorry.
I didn't know what that was. So, yeah, they drink.
They do. It is actual wine in front of them, but they only take a sip or two during the show. It's mostly a prop. Mm. They usually do the wine and then maybe have a cocktail as well.
Still a dangerous message to
thing,
put
carefree.
Out to the sedentary.
It's brunch. It's grapes.
Yeah.
I like the old news shows with the ashtrays and the cigarettes going all during the
full Cronkite.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you knew you could trust him.
The thing that's funny is like you watch some of those old Dick Cavett shows and stuff, and the people are smoking, but they don't have time to smoke because they're talking all the time. So now it's lose-lose. It's just like they light a cigarette, and they're like, oh, funny story, Dick. Let me tell you about that. So my family and I were going cross-country, right? So we rent a van, right? This is holding a cigarette because if you really think about the act of smoking, it means
yeah, you can't stop. Yeah, so anyway.
I find that when I go to the restaurant with somebody, and at some point 45 minutes into the meal, I look down, and mine is full, and theirs is gone, and that means I've been talking the entire – been chewing and nodding, right, there you go. Mm-hmm. And I'm just been rambling the entire time. That is sort of the food equivalent of that. They light those cigarettes, and they don't really get. You never see them smoke them because they're talking the whole time.
The only person who ever worked it out, Andrew Dice Clay.
Well, the guy
incorporated it into the conversation.
The guy I miss the most, and we're talking about on stage, is a guy who could smoke the cigarette and let it dangle.
Yeah.
Just have it move with him.
While he's talking?
While
it's in his mouth?
I like that guy.
That's a skill.
If he was either talking or wrenching, like underneath a car hood, you know, and just like, hey, what can I get close to the proximity of this gasoline? Let's see.
What do we got here? So long.
Yeah. How about a road flare? That's fine, but it's not hanging from my mouth. Oh, yeah. How about we'll light up a cigarette and I'll work on this car? Yeah. All right. What else we got, Gina Grant?
Well, ABC News reports that Delta Airlines is further tightening its policy on service animals, or what my mom calls sympathy dogs and emotional support pets, by announcing a ban on puppies and other animals under 4 months old. So the change, it's going to go into effect next Tuesday.
Isn't it also a length thing?
Yes. It also bans support animals on flights longer than 8 hours. The airline cites a sharp increase in animal-related incidents on flights over the past couple of years, including urination, defecation, biting, and all kinds of stuff.
Who could have ever seen this coming?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Absolutely nobody. Nobody. Delta previously announced a ban on pit bulls.
Maxipati, you got to find me screaming about this 15 years ago or 12 years ago or whenever. It was like
up.
The worst idea fucking ever. Because we used to live in a society that would play by the rules and you could just put the plastic pumpkin out front, fill it full of mini Abba Zaba bars and Skittles and whatnot, and say, please limit to one candy, young Halloween goers. We're out of town, so just grab the one. Now, we live in a society where the thing gets capsized into the person's pillowcase, and then they defecate into the fucking thing. And then later on, the next person who comes along and sees that the first kid defecated into the plastic jack-o'-lantern sues the homeowner.
Right.
And then the lawyer says, just settle.
Yeah.
Just settle up. It's just going to be so much easier. You don't want all the bad publicity. That's the society we've crafted. So we can no longer say, well, you can fly with your dog, but only if you really need it. That will not work.
No, that's over.
Because we're destroyed as a society.
Is there a medical... who gets to say it's a support animal? Can a person say this is my support animal, or do they have to have an official... documentation.
Now several airlines are saying we need triplicate. I mean, you can't just download it online, which
there
is
should
what a
be
lot of people
nothing
do.
You get online from a doctor.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like, hey, I'd like to smoke pot 24/7. Okay, let me just fill out this quick thing and I'll give you a bushel a week.
You go
like,
to your printer, next thing you know, you're smoking pot.
I don't know how much can get done with a doctor without ever seeing the doctor. Yeah, the doctor is on one of the Cayman Islands or something with some offshore whatever. Like,
not the same.
No. All right. Sad. But now we have to make rules because people can't do it. And we will keep making rules and they will keep going because we have to walk this back because all the self-absorbed nut jobs are going to town.
Well, and call me naive, but the one thing I thought that pet owners, the ones that want their pets on the plane as bad as anything, the one thing I thought they would never do is put their animal on an 8-hour flight. That just seems completely abusive.
Well, they're insanely narcissistic, and that's the new world order. Yeah. All right, let me tell you about Stamps.com. Holidays, busiest time of the year, especially at the post office. Save time during this hectic holiday rush. You go with Stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package with your computer or printer. Then the mail carrier just picks it on up. Just click print, mail, and you are done. We use it here. We use it for everything here. And right now, we got a special offer. We have a 4-week trial plus postage and digital scale without long-term commitments. So what do? You do what we do. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, you click the microphone, top of the homepage, and type in Adam. We've been using these guys for years. You do everything else online these days. Why not handle all your postage and do it with stamps.com? Remember, stamps.com, and you enter Adam. All right, Gina, let's do one more.
All right. Well, iHeart.com reports that two nuns who worked at a Catholic high school in California have been accused of embezzling over $500,000 and using that money to travel to Vegas to gamble.
Yeah.
Sister Mary Margaret Cooper spent 29 years as the principal at St. James School, while Sister Lana Chang was an eighth grade teacher before coming the school's vice principal. The nuns' illicit activities were discovered during a routine financial audit conducted after they retired.
Is nun one of those gigs where you just go, like when you hear about someone being a nun, you go, oh, good for you. And then you go, I fucking feel sorry for you. Like at the same, like in the my simultaneous thought is, good for you. I feel sorry for you. I don't feel that way about airplane pilots. I don't feel that way about tax attorneys. Right. Like, it's one of my good for you. I feel sorry for you. Like, what happened? How come this didn't work? What's going on?
Very, very noble. Boy, do I feel bad.
Yeah. Right. They're not wearing their
habits.
Their nun stuff.
Yeah, their nun such.
The nun gear.
You know, in the world of highfalutin, high-flying sitcoms, The Flying Nun...
The Flying Nun.
The Flying Nun, in terms of concept.
That was a weird pitch.
She's on
weird of anything like that on her network.
She's in a convent. She's in a convent like Puerto Rico or something. And here's the pitch. She put too much starch in her habit. And it made like a canard, like that's on the front of a super jet, like a weird... aileron and like weird canards, they call them. So she put too much. And so when the wind would kick up, she would get airborne.
That's what made her fly?
That's what made her fly. But
it's just good science. Based on a true story.
The thing that's crazy about it is like, All right, but how does that help? Like, yeah, right. Someone's so, like, oh, man, I went, it's great we got a nun on the ground, but the nun were 40 feet in the air, then our problems would be solved. Like, I was looking at her knickers right now. We would not have a situation.
Does she fight crime?
Oh, there she is.
The best part about the flying nun is how she would lift off. Or there's a couple conceits. You can find it, Max. The best part is a wind would kick up, and she'd be like, uh-oh, here we go. Like, she would start going into the air. Because she had too much starch in her habit, and they made these canards. But once she got going, she didn't have to hang on to her habit. And once she got up to like 80 knots, sure. And she was just skimming the surf line, she no longer had to hang on to the habit. It made sense. She had to hang on to it on lift. She took off like a Harrier. And then took off.
It was on so tight, it was able to support the weight of a human being.
Well, here's my whole thing. Go ahead and make a nun who can fly. But let's not get aerodynamics and science behind it. Oh, she put too much starch. So created lift. Went on over the top of the wing edge. The trailing edge created downforce. Like, no, she's just flying.
Well, here's something. It's the power of God.
Yeah, a miracle.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's not going to surprise you. I've never seen a moment of this show.
Me either.
The idea that she would go to other places and do nun things?
What does she do? Preach the good
you
word?
You read me the slug line. I swear to God, she was in like Puerto Rico
How
or on some island at some convent. Some promise. Well, Mother Superior was always pissed off, and she was always in the doghouse because she was young, cool nun. Mm-hmm. Then there would be some problem at the orphanage or something. And at some point, they'd be like, if only we could get this mosquito repellent to the orphanage. But the roads are all washed out. Like, okay, wind has kicked in. And then there was weird. There's a weird part, which is there's a sexual energy.
Is this the weird part?
Yes. There was Carlos was the bachelor. And Carlos was this swinging dude who like bedded all the ladies, and she was like, "You got to give us money because we got lepers and stuff." And he's like, "I'm basically Matt Helm banging chicks on a sectional, you know." And he was this good looking bachelor dude, but they kind of had a little sexual energy. Ooh, okay. But they wanted money out of him, and he was always using his money buying booze and plane tickets for his ladies and stuff like that. But he had a heart of gold at the same time.
Sure.
Where did this flying nun, where did this take place? Was it made up like Parador?
Right.
Chicago native Elsie arrives in San Juan from New York City.
There you go.
All right, so she's in Puerto Rico. She's in Puerto Rico, okay. And she's at a nunnery or convent or something.
Convent,
and she's there to take care of, like, the poor people of Puerto Rico. And then Carlos, the swinging bachelor's hanging around, too. Because, you know, when you're swinging bachelor, you hang around the nunnery a lot. Yeah. Like, right?
Yeah,
you go by the convent
Fox
a lot.
In the chicken coop.
Rich, yeah, target rich territory.
You just got to get footage of a wind kicking up and her just going up into the air. And then later on, she'd be sailing over the seas.
Was this before or after Gidget?
It was after.
Okay.
Was she Gidget?
Wasn't she?
Yes.
I think she was Gidget as well, right?
Yeah, I think she was Gidget. And then she became...
Sunfield's been around forever.
The flying nun. And then she became Norma Rae.
Right.
So she's got a little range.
Yeah.
In terms of
acting jobs.
Yeah, she could be relied upon to solve any problem that came her way by her ability to catch a passing breeze and fly.
Any problem?
Fantastic Five.
generally attributed to her weighing under 90 pounds, high winds at the convent, high on the ocean bluffs, and the large, heavily starched cornet that was the headpiece for her habit.
Hey, there's a pothole on the major highway in Puerto Rico.
The orphanage.
I want to see how her flying ability is going to solve that.
The orphanage is stricken with malaria. Hold on. Wait for a wind to kick in.
Get the palm fronds going.
Wait till I get 30 feet in the air.
We're going to show her. Going. You have her going up in the air? It's really an insane pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about somebody did have to sit down and throw that out there. And somebody greenlighted it.
Yeah.
Let's watch.
Which is actually kind of
interesting. Hey, you guys. A saintliness is leaving.
She'd have to hang on to it at the beginning, but then later on, she would just take off.
She was airborne.
Up, up, and away. Okay.
I got one about a burrowing priest. He's a priest who tunnels like a sand hog.
Chris.
How are we going to get under this wall?
Put that last frame up again. You know the wind was blowing the opposite direction she was flying? Look at the wind sock.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
You know nothing about commercial aviation, my friend. When you land, you always head into the wind, flaps down.
See, this is why you host
LAX, you rarely go over the ocean. It's always coming the other way. It's offshore breeze. Come on, Brian. This is realistic. Like we make fun here, but we keep it accurate and we keep it fair. Yes?
You must feel very stupid.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Man, they rob your engine of performance. Up to 10% Castrol Edge. Engineered with fluid titanium technology. Physically transforms to get stronger under pressure, helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance from your engine. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine today. All right. We got some good sports with me and Sheck coming up. You can check out some cool merch at CorollaRacing.com if you like. We got hats and whatnot. Brian Regan, stand up and away with the Flying Nun. And or Brian Regan, streaming on Netflix, Christmas Eve, Seinfeld's producing, Cesario's in there as well. Head writer, how can you go wrong? And, of course, all the Netflix specials, just the best, and you can watch them with your kids. Yes.
Thank you. One other thing. I'm in a show called Louder Milk, which is on DirecTV's Audience Network. It's a dark comedy. The Farrelly brothers are involved. It's about substance abuse, and so I wanted to make sure I got in there.
Get tickets for all his live shows at BrianRegan.com as well. Until next time, Sam Kroll for RJ Bell, Brian Regan, Gina Grandball. Brian, say it. Mahalo.
I don't know things.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. But the show's not done. Because coming up right now, I know you're fired up for it. Today's episode of Good Sports with Adam Carolla and Dave Damashek.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. I mispronounced my last name, but Ace, tell us about TrueCar.
Oh, yes. Everyone has stories like how did Sheck learn to mispronounce his own name, or better yet, not learn how to pronounce his actual Christian name. Oh, sorry. He's a Jew. TrueCar, everybody. I don't whisper it for any good reason.
TrueCar is what you
true,
said. Right? True is what
true.
You said.
True. Okay. I didn't say Jew. I okay. said true. TrueCar. You can put a price on those stories with TrueCar because you find out what your car's worth, and when it's time to sell it or trade it in, you get it locked in. So what you do is you go to TrueCar, you enter your license plate number, all the car's details pop up. You might want to try this just for poops and giggles, people. Then answer a few quick questions. Once you finish, you get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to your local certified dealer and cash out, or you can trade it in. So when you're ready to go, new or used, and you want a better way to sell or trade in your car, get it all in advance, get it all locked down. Check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. All right, check.
Ace, your pal and mine, Matt Money Smith, is a regular on the Dave Damashek football program. And, you know, sometimes we talk game of life, as we do here. And as you know, the Shecky Awards are coming up. And as you know, the granddaddy of all categories, Fruit of the Year, we're really coming down to the wire, interested in where you stand, but also wanted to update you. You know, Matt Money, you know him. He's a Renaissance man. He can talk about almost any subject. He's very well read. And yet, he had the temerity to walk into my studio and start talking up the virtues of the mango. The mango and the pear. And then he denounced the apple.
Oh, okay.
And then I told him he will win no Shecky, and he may as well not even show up that day because he has no chance of winning one after that kind of an attack.
All right. Well, let's break this down. First things first, Gary, I need you to do some recon for me. When exactly is cherry season? Because I feel like I'm being gaslit by my nanny. I tell Olga all the time, are you going to the store? Bring home some of those big pillowy Rainier cherries, big meaty Rainier cherries. And she goes, I look for them. They're not there. And then that'll be like in August. And then I'll hit her up again in November and go like, hey, I want cherries. So when you go to the store, get some. She's like, yes, they're not there. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. We're going to the Gelson's in La Cañada. Like, you could eat unicorn there. Like, they got
everything.
I was
just going to say, every fruit is in season year-round in
whale,
Southern California.
Unicorn or virgin thigh. It's all there. You can get whatever you want. So what is this? What is this grift that's going on with Olga over here?
Yeah.
Then the other day, once you cycle a full calendar year and you keep getting the out of season, I'm like, what's going on? Then she finally brings home sad cherries, you know, with the super thin skin, like the meat on it is very light. Like,
that's why I'm not a big cherry guy, like, because of the sad ones.
Like a prison McNugget, just bad. Like it's the pit, and then it's just an eighth of an inch of meat around it, and then a tough skin. I'm like, what's with the miniature cherries? She's like, they're out of season. I'm like, you're lucky I don't know anything, woman. Everyone in this house is lucky I don't know anything. You know goddamn well I don't know when cherry season is.
Imagine Adam Carolla then knowing stuff on time. I mean, it's hard to fathom.
I got a lot of seasons, but I don't think I have cherry season. When is it, Gary?
Sweet cherries, including the popular Bing and Rainier varieties, are available from May to August.
Mm.
And then there are some more sour and tart cherries that have a much shorter growing season, but also in the summer months.
Okay. Well, I swear to you, I told Olga in those summer months, I want some Rainier cherries up in this hizzy. And
So the cherry, you are the champion of the cherry. You always have
I like
been.
The Rainier cherry.
Right. You are very
right.
clear about
I like
that.
It. And you know what else I like in a weird way? And I don't know if anyone else is wired this way. I'm a pit guy.
I think there's something gross about it.
I will carry it around in my mouth. I'll take the dog for a walk. I'll kind of like shift. You don't chew on it. And back to mango, that's a pit too far. You cannot do the mango pit. Mm-hmm. That's a weird one. Now, do not get the mango and the papaya confused. The papaya is delightful when you cut it in half. You basically gut it. You don't get to gut a lot of fruits like a fish, but a papaya you gut, and then you squeeze some lime into it, and you use it as its own bowl and scoop it out.
Oh, is that the trick? A lime, eh?
Oh, have you had? Have you been? No? Do me a favor. Forget about yourself. Get yourself a papaya, cut it in half, scoop out the weird kind of inner giblets of it, squeeze some lime on it, and then just get it out with like a melon ball, or just get your spoon and just hold it like a little canoe and just
now's
dig it
the
out.
Time to do it. It's I better awesome. Do it now or hold your peace till 2019.
Now the
papaya.
Now the mango
is gross.
Now the thing about the mango, and I don't say this with like almost any fruit. I'm trying to think of what else it holds true for. The grenadine or the grenade or whatever the hell is I'm trying to think of. I'll think of that in a second. But the mango, the flavor itself is tropical and fine. It's unmanageable.
The flavor is not my beef.
It's like my hair in junior high. There's nothing we can do with it. We can't comb it down. Mm-hmm. We can't feather it. There's no position it will take. It's a great unusable flavor. You peel it, it's stringy, it gets caught in your teeth. You can't really hold the seed. You can't eat it with your hand. It's a fruit, you can't eat it with your hand. Cutting it up is weird. It's like cutting up a cupcake, you know what I mean? Like, oh, how anal retentive do you seem? But it's also weird that you can't hold it and eat it. You can't really skin it. You can try to kind of skin it, but it'll come off in little tabs. So while I love Matt Money Smith, and I wouldn't argue with him over the flavor of mango, and it'd be great if we could create some sort of mango meat and like harvest it and get it in cubes.
People do it in smoothies. Okay, I'll take it in a smoothie, but that's a so right out of the gate, I have to mess with it for it. And oh, Money's big tip is that's because you have to put some hot sauce on. What are we talking about now? How much must we doctor your beloved fruit?
The mango is solid in flavor. I don't have a problem with it. I like it, but it's not excessive. Enough. Yes. And for that reason.
I'm with you. Yes, Dylan.
The answer to this may be no, but can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of doctoring, if you have to use the juice of another fruit to make a fruit palatable, I mean, why are we even talking about papaya?
Well, it shows that it's an amicable fruit, and I like that.
Papaya is good. And papaya you can cube it up and put it in a fruit salad, and it'll help any fruit salad, or at least make it feel like an Elvis movie, you know what I mean? A little more exotic. But the lime brings it out, and it's sort of, I don't know, it's like a Corona or something. The Corona's fine, but I'm not a Corona fan, but if a lime makes it a little better for you, then so be it. It's you think of it as fruit-on-fruit crime. I get it.
Yeah, that makes sense, but this is exactly why. See, it's got to be, it's one of those ones that's got to be in a band. Cantaloupe needs to be in a band. It can't be a solo star. It's like the Avengers, you know? The Avengers all work well together, but the Hulk is an outlier, you know, he's more powerful. He's unwieldy. He doesn't exactly fit in with the other people, so sometimes they leave him behind. That's what the apple is, Adam Carolla. The apple's too mighty. It's too mighty. It doesn't mix well with everybody. All the other fruits in the fruit salad. I'm my own man. I'm my own star. Don't you see?
I would argue that more apples historically have been thrown.
Careful.
Have been thrown than eaten. Well, that's my thought.
What Money said, what Money's attack on the apple was.
My argument is the ultimate.
Why are there so? Well, his argument was, if it's so good, then why do they have to have countless variations of it? Why, if it's such a good fruit, why are there like 17 when you go to the grocery store? I mean, that is an insane question as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
my argument is the ultimate, which is it's always what's left at the bottom of your fruit salad when you get the fruit salad cup at
the restaurant.
I just
explained to you. I just told you the answer to it.
No, you've heard the answer.
Just because it doesn't go with the other ones doesn't mean it's not delicious on its own. That's the point.
It is the ultimate meritocracy. You pick out the one you like the best first, and then you are left with the one you
David
like the least.
David Bowie wouldn't have been good if he were in Arcade Fire, just one of 10 or 15 people. He's his own man, don't you see?
All right.
Let me tell you about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk, spray some lime juice on my mango, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. That's the most rewarding to-do you do today, and then you could take it over to that store that Ace was talking about where you can get some unicorn meat if you want to spend that extra loot on that. All right, Friday episode of Good Sports still to come for you. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out. Good Sports!
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Fantasy Bank BS, hosted by Bald Brian and Sonny Carolla on Podcast One. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, major events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.